David Maxfield is author of three New York Times bestsellers, Crucial Accountability, Influencer, and Change Anything. And today we're talking about how to unwrap the secret to talking about holiday finances, all in our effort to help you get and stay on financial track. Welcome to the show, David.
Well, thank you, Steve.
So survey reveals that 8 out of 10 people blow their budget on Black Friday, and yet 56% struggle to just talk about spending with their spouse or partner. Why is there this disconnect?
Well, because it's an emotional subject, and people hate to confront each other and hold each other accountable. They'd rather do almost anything else.
Money is this strange bedfellow. You know, families don't talk about money with their kids. Older children don't talk about money with their aging parents. What is it about money that makes us all so uptight, I wonder?
Well, we'll say a crucial conversation is whenever you've got high stakes and a disagreement and emotions get involved. And when emotions start to kick in, we need to be at our very best, and yet we're acting at our very worst. It's that old fight or flight sort of syndrome that we move to.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Plus, I don't think people have the verbal tools to help them have a smart, reasonable money discussion.
Yes.
Because it is tied up with emotion.
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, we found in our study that people are much more likely to do three things: change the subject or avoid it entirely.
Yeah.
Second is hide what things cost and what's been spent, or actually hide the purchases themselves. Now, I guess around holiday season, maybe there's an excuse for hiding things, like wrapping them in paper, but that's not the typical excuse.
Yeah. Those seem like actions of someone who's got a serious addiction problem. You know, you're hiding, things, or you're not talking about it. You're laying direction or misdirecting. What else do the people do to avoid this?
Well, you know, those sound like they'd have a serious problem, but that's actually half of the people in our survey said that they are spending $500 or more over what they and their spouse have agreed to spend. So it's pretty high.
Yeah.
A third of our subjects say they've ended up in serious conflict with a spouse or family member over this holiday overspending.
Yeah, or they would, I guess they would use separate accounts to make a purchase too. You know, it occurs to me that there's a certain amount of adolescent behavior here, or even younger than adolescent. You know, you do something bad and you hide it, you won't admit to it. So I guess the idea is, hey guys, let's learn how to be grownups when it comes to money.
Yeah. So how do we talk about it? And I think that's the core of what I think I want to be able to share with people is what are some rules of thumb, and then some, what are some alternatives so you can have a fun holiday without overspending?
Good. How do you do it?
Well, I'd say start early. Don't wait till the last minute and then sort of drop a frugality bomb, you know, at Christmas Day. Instead, try to have the conversation early. I'd say before Thanksgiving, at least, sit down and talk about what is it that you want to spend over the holidays? What's your budget? And involve the person in the budget. So the first hint is to start early.
Yeah. So if your spouse suddenly announces that they bought a Tesla, maybe you should have had kind of the limits to what we were going to spend conversation before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, a second one that I'll put in here is solve the right problem. So is the problem that the person is spending more than's in the budget or more than promised to you? I mean, if you discover your loved one has rented a storage unit, right, to hide this stuff, then you're not talking about overspending. You're talking about trust in the relationship. So focus in on what's the right problem. Is it trust? Is it the budget? Is it they got a Tesla instead of a Corvette? I mean, what's the exact problem here?
Well, I think if it comes down to the topic of trust, that is a way, way bigger issue. And that's one very good reason I can see that this discussion will not occur, because you're opening up a huge can of worms then.
Yeah. And let me suggest that the way human beings are built, we always sort of expect the worst. It's like we catastrophize. We imagine what's the worst that could happen when my spouse opens his or her mouth.
Yeah.
And the worst is that they don't trust me. They think I've betrayed them. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to have that conversation because we know the other person's going to assume the worst.
Well, exactly. You know, I'm an investment advisor, and I have this worsification conversation with clients sometimes, and that is, all right, so you're very, very frightened about the market or whatever. Let's take it. What's the worst that can happen? Let's actually go there and quantify it, and you'll see that, you know, the way things are really structured, it's not going to be as bad as you're imagining. You know, you're not going to be, you know, begging for food somewhere, because we just don't structure portfolios that way. So this idea of looking at the worst case and kind of working backwards, I think is pretty valuable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in fact, that's been a proven successful strategy by psychologists. They'll sometimes call it the mini-max theory. I've used it when we're helping unions and management negotiate, have each group think through what's the worst that the other group could impose on us, and come up with the worst, and then sit down and say, you know, we're going to take those evil scenarios off the table. Mm-hmm. We can guarantee in writing we won't do those things. Now let's talk about the heart of the matter. Right? And I think couples can do that too.
My guest is David Maxfield. He's author of 3 New York Times bestsellers, Crucial Accountability, Influencer, and Change. He's a sought-after speaker, a consultant to Fortune 500 companies and the like, and also vice president of research at Vital Smarts. And we're unwrapping the secret to talking about holiday finances. You know, David, I want to spend a minute talking about how you talk to each other, because there's a certain amount of skill when you're confronting a spouse, a partner, whatever. You have to say things just right, because a person can get very defensive.
Absolutely. And in fact, not just with your spouse, our culture in general tends to be a very low accountability culture. So in fact, people will say, I've worked with police departments that say, I think neighbors would rather call the police than call their neighbor to complain about a garbage can, right? We're very averse to speaking up. And so by the time we do speak up, we're often carrying such a burden of anger and frustration that it comes across as an attack.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'll sometimes say, you know, if you're disagreeing with me and your lips are moving, I'm going to feel like you're attacking me.
Yeah.
So what can you do? What's a skill to say this is not an attack? And a phrase I remember comes from the military that works for me. It's always salute the flag before you disagree with your commanding officer. Kind of makes a lot of sense. And when you try and think about what does it mean to salute the flag, it means two very different things. One thing it means is show respect for the person. And if it's your partner, show love for the person. Show, you know, I care about you. I love you. I love who you are. I love your point of view, right? The second thing it means to salute the flag is it reminds the person that you serve under the same flag, that you both want ultimately the same thing. You're on the same side of this thing, that I want what you want.
Right.
And if you can communicate respect, and we call it mutual purpose, that we want the same thing, that's how you diffuse it from an attack. And you can summarize it by saying, communicate with love and respect. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we moved into a new house, how we decorate our home is very important. So we came up with some guidelines for art in particular. We said any shared space, either person can say no. A no is a no, and it's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then we allocated our own private space to each other. This is my space. This is your space, your bedroom, your guest room, whatever you want to do. Not your bedroom, but your, you know, one room that each of us may have separate. You can do anything you want there. Nobody has an opinion on what can happen in that space. But in the joint space, a no is a no, and it's not personal. And I can tell you that has really, really helped.
I can imagine it will. And that takes me to sort of where I want to go, I think, for the essence of this conversation, is to make holiday spending part of a positive financial plan. So this is not going to be news to you, right? Involve your family, your spouse particularly, but as many of your kids as you feel comfortable with in creating a financial plan that includes budgeting and spending that looks towards a positive future. And a positive future would include things like specific expenditures like your next car, family vacation, sports summer camps, and by the way, holiday spending gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more that others can see where the money comes from and where it goes, and the more they feel like they have a role in deciding how to spend it, in your case, where to spend it in a house,
right,
the more they'll feel like they're part of the plan. rather than feeling like it's being imposed on them.
Yeah, again, it's this idea of saluting the flag first, you know, which is a way of saying, hey, we're in this together. This is really about us. Our future also is important here. So let's keep things, you know, together, thinking together. And then, of course, let's discuss it. Let's be willing to be wrong and, you know, to accept a challenge. And finally, you know, it's just not personal. It's about thinking about the future. My guest, David Maxfield, is with me. We're discussing unwrapping the secret to talking about holiday finances. David, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
And to hear this conversation, don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com. That's P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z, stevepomerantz.com. And also you can sign up for our weekly update as well and see what's going on with the show. Hear the whole show, hear parts of the show, whatever you would like, stevepomerantz.com.